They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
China is about to throw another log on its sizzling trade war with the U.S. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. As early as tomorrow, China's top legislative body could pass a new law further restricting sensitive technology exports on national security grounds. The BBC's Saranjana Tiwari explains what companies could be caught in the crossfire.
They've said it would apply to all companies in China and even ones that rely on foreign investment. This has got a lot of implications, not just for China, but also the US. Essentially, China's expanding the use of its policy as competition heats up over technology with the US. China already does have some restrictions on the export of technology, but those are limited to things that could be used for nuclear weapons, for example. Experts say this would just put China on the same footing as the US. The US regularly uses export controls and licenses strategically.
But this trade war between the U.S. and China isn't just affecting companies and businesses in between those two nations. Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing, the world's largest chip maker, has now stopped supplying chips to Huawei because of trade sanctions.
That's right. This all came out because it's just reported quarterly results, and it's actually outperformed its own projections and says the rest of the year will do really well. But the problem is one of its biggest customers, Huawei, it's not able to do business with anymore because of U.S. sanctions. It said it last exported chips to Huawei in mid-September. This just goes to show that the sanctions are impacting even non-Chinese firms. TSMC sells chips to people like Apple and Nvidia and AMD.
The BBC's Saranjana Tiwari. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Victoria.
Checking the numbers now, European stocks are rebounding after yesterday's sell-off. Auto shares are up nearly 3% after stronger-than-expected results from makers Daimler and Volvo. Data showed European car sales also rose in September for the first time this year. The first flight in a new quarantine-free travel bubble between Australia and New Zealand has landed this morning. The move to further open up the travel and tourism industry could be a boost for New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, who's up for re-election this weekend. That's because, as the BBC's Stephen Ryan explains, the economy is top of mind for voters.
She's got her fans.
With the pandemic and everything, she's handled it pretty well, you know, leading an entire country.
But she's got her critics.
I could certainly think of a lot better things for our business than Jacinda Ardern.
Polls say Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern's party is comfortably ahead of its main rival, and how she handled coronavirus is a big factor. New Zealand has seen 25 deaths and fewer than 2,000 cases in this country of around 5 million people. Shelley Sefton runs Diner 66 in Christchurch. She says even with the government wage subsidy, it was a real struggle to pay her staff with tight restrictions and no customers.
They just kind of think that if you own a business, you must have a lot of money, so you should just be able to suck it up.
Unemployment has been rising and women have been disproportionately hit. Of the 11,000 unemployed in the second quarter, 10,000 were women. Jennifer Curtin, a political science professor at Auckland University, says that's because the government's economic recovery package was too old school.
So they decided that they would invest in construction, in physical infrastructure, rebuilds, roads, rail and trades apprenticeships. And that part of the economy is very male dominated.
There was considerably less investment in service industry jobs, more traditionally done by women. So Professor Curtin says whoever leads the next government will have to be more imaginative about supporting women's jobs and livelihoods in a post-COVID recovery. I'm the BBC's Stephen Ryan for Marketplace.
On this World Food Day, the UN is bringing awareness to food production and distribution. Food waste is a growing problem in many countries, and it's estimated about a third of the food produced around the world goes to waste each year. That's where a UK-based app, Olio, comes into play. It's used by a million people in more than 40 countries and allows neighbors to share food they no longer need or want. The BBC's Dougal Shaw reports that a new partnership between Olio and a major UK supermarket is aimed at helping further reduce Britain's food waste.
Hi, Tony.
You okay?
You go.
Thanks a lot. Tony has come to pick up some bread and biscuits from his neighbour, Anna. The food is free because Anna is a volunteer for a food sharing app called Olio. So-called local food heroes like Anna take food from places like cafes when it is about to be thrown away, store it at home, and then distribute it in the community. Once he'd examined his bread and biscuits, I asked Tony how the app helps him.
So I do it because I've got a family of eight, so it's a really great way to save money and also reduce waste at the same time. We're definitely buying less in the supermarket, and also there's less food going to waste, which is a good thing.
The free food Tony has in his hand came from a Tesco supermarket and has just announced it will work with Olio in all its 2,700 stores across the UK. A big step change. Food close to expiry that hasn't sold after being reduced for the day is first offered to local food charities. If it's surplus to requirements, then Olio can take it. Sounds like a good way to cut down on waste, but it does raise a few questions. Firstly, how does it affect business? Lynn Uthed is the designated community food waste champion at the Tesco store in Cheshunt.
Tescos do not like waste at all.
Are you at all worried that people might learn about the app and think, well, this food I see here reduced, if I just wait a bit, I can go around the corner and get it for free?
You might want it there and then, so to wait for it might be gone.
On the other side of the equation, there's also the question of the morality of giving free food to someone, whether they are a banker or on benefits. A question I put directly to Olio's co-founder, Sasha Celestialwan.
One of the number one pieces of feedback that we get from people who are in vulnerable situations is that you don't have to justify that you need it.
Tesco's national involvement may mean a lot more work for volunteers like Anna, but with four fridges ready to collect food that might otherwise have gone to waste, it seems people like her are likely to relish the challenge. I'm the BBC's Dougal Shaw for Marketplace.
Finally, sponsored posts are in the crosshairs of Facebook Ireland, which runs Instagram in the UK. With the help from Britain's competition watchdog, the company has agreed to toughen rules around sponsored posts to make them more transparent. Instagram will launch a program to educate young users how to identify branded content and require influencers to confirm and disclose when they've been paid to promote products or services. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.